Thank you for downloading our podcast. Make sure to subscribe to get new ones every week. And don't forget to check out First Methodist Sweetwater's website and social media. Now, please enjoy today's special message.
When Tyler asked me, probably 6 weeks ago, hey, have you ever preached in church? I was like, no. I was like, I preach in here to young children, and I do out at Camp Butman to kids. But I don't know what's more intimidating, you guys this morning or all those young kids, so we'll see how it goes. But the past few Sundays, we've been diving into prayer, and specifically the Lord's Prayer. This prayer, it has so many points, and it's such a great message. And man, the choir today singing that, and then Tony leading us in the Lord's Prayer in it, it's just so perfect for what the Lord's Prayer really is. It brings comfort, and it provides hope. It reaffirms our faith. But what about when those words are hard? And what about when the words hit you hard? What happens when those words are hard to pray because we've witnessed or we've even experienced the hard things, the really hard things that life can bring us? When you're 40 years old and in one moment, heaven now holds your husband and your baby's dad, and you had no will in it of your own. We trust. It sounds simple, yet I know, and y'all all know, it's not. Trust isn't easy. And I know so many of us in this sanctuary and all out here in this world, we've experienced really hard things. None of us are immune from the hard things. We've lost, we've failed. We haven't gotten what we worked for. We haven't gotten what we put in back out. And sometimes we don't even get what we pray for. We haven't felt heard or seen or maybe even loved by God at times. And many of those times, we've been faithful. We've been praying. We've said the Lord's Prayer. But it just hasn't been our will. In my life, nothing's ever been easy. And I've had a great life, so I don't want to take that away. But it's been hard things. I can't ever have something simple happen. I can't break a pinky. I can't have something easy. It's hard. I grew up in church. I was born to believers. I was raised in church. My mom sang in the choir. I can't tell you how many times that I've heard her sing How Great Thou Art. I mean, you talk about God, because I didn't pick the music for today. But she sang it in church and at more funerals than I would care to ever know. We went to church devotedly. I knew all about God and Jesus and prayer, and we prayed daily. We prayed at meals, we prayed for car wrecks, we prayed for sick people. I mean, we prayed, because that's what you do, you pray. Whether I was with my mom and my stepdad, or my dad and my stepmom, faith and prayer were always intentional, and they were always there. But it didn't stop the hard things from happening, guys. It didn't stop my mom from having infertility issues after she had me. She would have to have an emergency hysterectomy to save her life and to lose yet another baby. It was hard. It didn't stop my dad from losing his firstborn son. And later, they would lose my baby sister in a tragic accident where they would have to decide to take her off life support at 8 months old. I was 11, and it would be my mom who broke the news to me about my sister. And I was so mad at God, and I was so hurt. That tiny white coffin, I mean, I'll never forget it. And those of you that have experienced it and you've seen it, those tiny coffins will forever be that memory that just break your heart. The tears cried, the hurt. And I would stay mad at God for 2 years. I would sit in church in Lubbock at Aldersgate United Methodist, and I'd listen to our preacher, who I loved, and he'd be like, God loves you. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm sorry, you don't know this, but I know this, but you just carry on. But it would take 2 years, a lot of prayers from people who loved us, and the ministry of an amazing youth pastor to get me out of that hole. It took the faith of my mom and my stepmom, the two strongest women that I know, because I'd watch them grieve and I'd watch them continue on because of their faith, not because their prayers had ever been answered the way they wanted them answered. Now, God did answer prayers, and my mom and my stepdad went on to adopt my three brothers. God always has a way. And little did I know that even back then, God was laying a way for me to be able to follow his will. When I was 21, I had a problem with my heart. I knew I had a problem. I was in college on a scholarship, and I was working as an EMT and dispatching for a sheriff's department, and I even waited tables on the weekends. And suddenly, I was exhausted, and I was not remembering exactly how I drove home from school to home, and I didn't tell my parents because I was 21. I didn't need my parents. In fact, I was 20 at this point. And so I just scheduled a doctor appointment and went to the doctor by myself. And I said, hey, I think there's something wrong with my heart. In fact, I know there is. And he listened and he said, oh, you're right. And I was like, great. And it was Christmas. So I had to go home and confess to my parents that not only was there now a problem with my heart, but I hadn't shared it with them. And I went behind their backs and went to the doctor, but now I was scared. And so I needed them to go to the doctor with me to figure out what we were gonna do. Turns out I had a hole in my heart and I would need open heart surgery at 21. I begged my doctor, who again, God's will, was the head of pediatric cardiology, to let me put it off. Don't make me miss this semester of college. I got a scholarship, things are, you know, I gotta. And he said, okay, but you have to quit your job, no more EMTing for you, and take it really easy. So that June, I had open heart surgery. And I have to tell you, I was afraid. And I remember I had 6 months to be afraid and all sorts of things. But I literally gave it to God. And I said, God, heal me or take me. And I have to tell you, my parents, all four of them, they were not very impressed with my attitude about it. I was like, hey, it's gonna work out. I'm gonna be healed either which way. And my parents didn't find that the best. But I was really at peace with this surgery and with what could happen. And to be honest, I didn't think I'd survive surgery. It's open heart surgery, like where they stop your heart. Kind of crazy. I mean, it'd been beating since God started it, but they're gonna stop it. They're gonna put a patch over the hole and I'm gonna be okay. When I woke up, I was surprised, but I was thankful. And I don't know why, except it wasn't my time. You know, maybe my surgeon prayed over it. Maybe my team prayed over it. Because I can remember my precious nurses praying over me and being there. So again, God's will, because almost 24 years later, three babies, and the patch is still holding. So here we are. So God answered my prayers to be healed, and I stayed on this side of heaven. Life went on, and I met this amazing man. It was an answered prayer, and his name was Jason, and many of you got the joy of knowing him. We fell in love, and we got married, and we couldn't wait to have a family. But of course, nothing's ever easy, right? And I, too, would struggle with infertility. There would be miscarriages, infertility treatments, and tears, and many prayers later, we had our family. But no pregnancy was ever easy for me. I was so sick with Avery, and I had weekly checkups, and I was high risk, and I had surgery at 20 weeks when I was 20 weeks pregnant with Drake, and I had bed rest and a premature delivery with Henley. And to tell you how amazing God is, I wouldn't even tell people I was pregnant with Henley because I was terrified. But Vicki Lawrence called me one day, and she said, I really feel like you. Like, are y'all gonna have another baby? And I started crying, y'all, right down on Oak Street outside of dance. How did she know? Because literally, I threatened Jason, don't you tell a soul. This probably isn't going to work. Don't you tell a soul. It's not going to work. But it worked. And prayers were answered. And I had my Henley. And Vicki knew before my parents. So there we go. God's pretty amazing. God answered my prayers to be a mom. And mine and Jason's prayers to be a family. Every single time that we prayed and we went through hard things, he brought us through it. It was faith, it was trust, and he gave us these amazing babies that have grown into amazing and healthy young people, despite apparently my best efforts to mess them up at every chance, because that's what moms do. And life marches on. There were hard days and good days for our family. I never thought the days would end or change, And then one day, without any notice, and with nothing being my choice, my life with Jason was torn away. On a summer day, God called him home. He hadn't been feeling well, and there'd been a lot of things that go on, that had gone on. And that morning, we were volunteering at the shop, and Jason had gone back home, and I was like, I'll call you when I get out. And so I'm at the shop that day with my kids and all the stuff, and I give this devotional at the shop, because God, right, about faith and about trusting God. And we had just been out to Camp Butman for church day with our church, and we had ziplined, and some of the kids were asking me about it. And they're like, weren't you afraid? And I was like, I wasn't afraid, because what happens? The zipline breaks. It's my time to go, God. And as I'm saying these words, my husband's at home dying. And I get out of the shop, and I call him, and it's so much. I can't get him to stay on the phone. I know it's bad. He's called an ambulance. So when a man calls an ambulance, we know it's bad. And I knew the ambulance would never get there to him in time. Our best friends and neighbors across the road were gone. So I called one of my dear friends who was a paramedic in Blackwell, and I said, I need you to go. It's not good. And she said, okay, I'm going. And she did. She got there. It wasn't good. The ambulance beat me home, and my friend, she ran out to me, and she said, you're not going in that house. It's not good. You're not going in. And so I stood on my front porch, and I prayed, and I cried out to God, and I begged, and I pleaded, I bargained. I said the Lord's Prayer throughout this mantra, throughout this time. I don't even know how long it was, but I stood there and I prayed so hard for God not to take my husband, not to take my children's dad, not to take my in-law's son. Don't do it. And I prayed and I prayed, and it just wasn't enough, y'all. And it wasn't enough because I wasn't praying or because I didn't believe. But it wasn't God's will. My prayers weren't answered the way I wanted them answered that day. And my husband went to heaven at 40 years old. And our children were 11, 8, and 6. There's no good in this. No one will ever convince me that there was good in this for my kids or my in-laws or even myself. Like, this isn't the way life should go. And I was left alone. And my person was gone. And I could tell y'all so much about my kids' journey, but it's theirs. And I don't want to take that from them, from their right to share or not share what they've journeyed through with this. But I will tell you that I felt alone, and it was a loneliness that was so deep and the sadness that broke my heart down to my very soul that I didn't know if I could ever breathe again because I couldn't breathe. And I couldn't make decisions, and yet I had all the decisions to make. I thought I'd never feel again or go a night without crying. And I was really mad at God because I'd been faithful, and Jason had always been faithful. And I prayed and I prayed, and those prayers weren't answered the way I wanted. And the thing is, I had to learn to be okay with this. I had to learn to live with this pain and this loss for a lot of reasons, and three of them were the kids. The most important things ever, I had to learn to be okay for them. I had to rely on my faith. I had to trust in God that his loss and that this pain, they weren't in vain. There's a reason. And I know I'll never know this reason on earth. And I pray that someday when I'm the other side of heaven, I'll know the reason. But on earth, I don't think any of us know the reason for these hard, unexpected losses. And so I had to trust that this was God's will to be done. Those words again, God's will. Not mine, but his. And I had to trust in heaven once again. This isn't an easy thing, and it doesn't happen quickly. And I will also say it's one of those times in life where I look back at all the ways God had always been working. And it's no coincidence that mine and Jason's very first friends in this church were Sandra and Don Graham. It's no coincidence, because Sandra and Jana, Dwylene, so many of y'all would pick me up who had been through it. Nadine Petty, I'll never forget her telling me, this isn't right, it's not fair, you're young. So many of y'all that had walked this picked me up and carried me. And that's just not willy-nilly what happens. That's God planning things out before we know his plan. So learning to live with it, it's not okay, it's not easy, it doesn't happen quickly. And it's definitely not without tears and the kind of grief that rocks you to your bones. But little by little, I began to be able to breathe again. And to my parents, again, the very last thing with me, I got my very first tattoo of the Chinese symbol that means breathe. And my best friend went with me. And I had it put here where I could always see it to remind me that I can breathe. When I can do nothing else, I can breathe. Breathing is what saved me in those first few days. And I began to see the way that God was working in my life and in my children's lives. And I could see the way that God had prepared, and I could see the way that he had blessed me. And I began to see God's hand in so many things. And I was slowly able to see and to believe and to trust that God had never left me, that he didn't turn a deaf ear to me, and I wasn't unworthy. And it wasn't that he didn't care, he didn't have time that awful day. But it was just God's will. And I learned what I had always known, that my prayers weren't just mine and they weren't my will, they were God's will. And I had to accept it. And I had to learn to live with it and to live with the loss. I had to sit in it and with it. I had to let it soak into me, all while staying faithful. I had to keep my children's hearts from being forever wounded. So I had to do the things that showed them that God is good even in the bad, and that God wasn't out to hurt us or to get us, and that God wasn't without mercy. I had to walk in my faith and keep that faith that would help heal their hurt and their faith too. And I can still remember the first times that I had to say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because I couldn't say them for months. I would just go silent near that part. It's kind of like Amazing Grace. That one is a hard one for me too. And I would just cry silent tears when it was time to say it, because I knew God's will had been done in heaven and I had to carry on here on earth. And eventually, God answered a prayer that I didn't even know I had, because that's what God does. And he sent this amazing man into our lives. It was a man who had loved me with all the things and would love our children. It's a man who had known and he'd loved Jason as well. And a man who would have enough faith and trust in God to take on all of us. He was a man who prayed. I didn't think I would ever love again, and to be honest, I didn't ever want to love again. I already knew the reality of loving was losing, and I'd already been there. I didn't know if I would ever have it in me to love again like that. And I knew that if I chose to love, and if I chose to listen to that call and to listen to God, I could very well have to end up burying another man, and I wasn't sure I could ever do that again. Then a wise friend told me to trust the process. Maybe some of you have heard those same words before, trust the process. It wasn't the first time he had told me these words. They'd kind of become a mantra during our conversations. Trust the process, believe, trust. But now the words were hitting differently. And I knew if I didn't want to live a life alone, if I wanted to have love again, that I would have to be brave enough to hold on. I would have to trust in God's will. I'd have to trust in earth. And I would have to trust. So Travis, you're an answered prayer. You're a prayer I didn't know I had. I was not looking. But you're a life I can never imagine living without you in it. Because when I didn't know, God knew. So about a month ago, Travis was in a serious accident. It was 5:30 in the morning. He called me and I jumped up. I didn't call anyone. Again, my parents are not really proud of me. I just got in my car and I drove. He was 2 hours away. And I just prayed silently and earnestly, God, don't do this to me again. So kind of selfish. God, don't do this to my children. Don't do this to his children. Do not do this to me again, God. Let him be okay. And I just prayed and I drove. And I don't know that it was my prayers that day, but I do know that it was God's will for it not to be Travis's time to leave this earth. And I know that God heard my prayers that morning, and I knew that God knew his own will. And this, I believe, is the root of our prayer, that God knows, and we trust. We trust in the prayers answered, and maybe more importantly, we trust in the prayers not answered. We trust because we believe, and because we believe, we have faith. And that faith brings us to prayer, to our conversations with God, to give our hearts and our words, our worries and our praises to our Father in heaven, because it's his will to be done in earth and in heaven. Thank you.